Welcome to the Health Coach Nation podcast. My name is Haley Rowe, and I'm a sales and marketing coach and LinkedIn lead generation service provider. I work with health, life, and mindset coaches and online service-based business owners to help them get more sales, shift their time to the client-generating activities instead of just the busy work, and overcome that social media overwhelm. Let's get into the show. If you're ready to take on your next paying clients, I have good news. My free 4 Basics of Client Attraction and How to Stand Out class is live at haleyrowe.com/client-attraction. In the class, you're going to learn the top 2 traits I recommend for most coaches and entrepreneurs if they really want to turn this into a career. You're going to learn how you can build demand for your services and stop getting crickets on your posts. You're going to learn the sales roadmap I used to improve my sales conversion rate and help my clients do the same. And you're going to learn so much more. So go to haleyrowe.com/client-attraction and get your copy of the class today.
Hey, I'm here today with Chelsea, the launch copy coach, and we're going to be talking about what do you need to have in place for a launch and what should you be thinking about if you are a coach and you want to have a successful launch. So Chelsea, why don't you introduce yourself and how the heck did you get into talking about launching and working with coaches?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much, Haley, for having me as well. It's my pleasure to share with you all today. I am, as Haley said, a launch coach for other coaches and course creators, and I've been doing this for nearly, I think, about 8 years now. Yeah, it's around 8 years now, and I actually started in copywriting, hence the copy part of the name, if you will. So I started in copywriting, launch copywriting, and then transitioned into launch strategy and launch coaching from there. And I mean, I've helped hundreds, thousands of coaches and course creators at this point to launch their coaches, I mean, their coaching programs, their courses, and really ensure that they are creating like really cash injections and revenue, because what is a launch without that sweet little sales spike right at the end, right? So, and creating that, but also really taking care of themselves and ensuring that they're launching sustainably along the way.
Amen to that. I do not subscribe to the stressful launches of like, oh my gosh, there's so much pressure. It's only 5 days long and I have to do this 5-day challenge. I did do some challenges in my day, and I do think those can be great, but I've kind of now shifted to more so a calmer way of launching for me. And I think it takes some practice to figure out what your style is and what you can stick with and what's sustainable. And so I love that you help people figure that out for themselves. And one question I would ask is, how does somebody know if they're ready to launch? Like, what do they need to have in place? Because what I hear a lot is somebody who says, well, I don't even have an audience. I don't, who am I even launching to? So tell us a little more about those pre-steps before deciding to launch.
For sure. And that is an absolutely legitimate question. Like, one of the first things that I definitely say is you need people. You can't launch to no one. And if you plan to do that, you are setting yourself up for crickets. And nobody likes to go through all of the effort, the planning, the energy expenditure of a launch to get crickets back. That is a huge disappointment, a huge energy drain, and financially, that's not what we want either. So definitely an audience. That doesn't mean you need to have a large audience, right? Your audience can literally be as small as, I like to say, 200 people. You can make like 5 figures, depending on your offer, depending on the price point, depending on who you're serving. You can literally create like 10, 20, 30K launches from a list of 200 people. It's just a matter of, you know, ensuring that you're speaking to the right people, you're nailing all the messaging, key points, all that jazz. But like, definitely need an audience. You definitely need a strategy. Like, just announcing that your offer is available for purchase, that's not a launch. That's an announcement. And there's a difference between an actual like launch structure, launch strategy, launch runway and execution and planning versus just a social media post announcing that you are, your offer is available, right? So you need people, you need a strategy. You also need like real clarity around your offer and your messaging. And when I talk about messaging, I really like to think about not just who you're speaking to, but are you speaking to the people who will get the absolute best results from your program? So not just, and you can't listen. We all love to say that we can help anyone, and your offer can probably help anyone, right? But who has historically gotten the absolute best results from working with you? There's a specific kind of person with specific characteristics in their life and in their business who has the assets, the resources, the time, the energy, the kind of attitude to tap into your program and see the best results. So are we talking to those people? Are we saying what they need to hear? Are we resonating with those people? And then in messaging too, I like to talk about urgency, because it's really important that you speak to the people for whom this problem is like top of mind, who want to solve this problem right now, not the people who want to solve this problem next year. Because if you speak to the people who this would be like a nice to have versus a need to have, you're not going to see the sales you're looking for. So you need people, you need strategy, you need messaging. And then I also like to say, as like the fourth thing, is that you really need to have a plan for taking care of yourself in this process. Energy management is crucial in a launch, because your emotions are all over the place. The launch will do its thing. Like it'll do the weirdest, tech will be crazy. Like a launch will do all kinds of crazy-ish, right? All the things you didn't plan for will show up. Plus all your own ish around money, around relationships, around sales, like all your own crap shows up too. So you have to be prepared to manage yourself and manage your energy throughout this entire process. So that's kind of like the four things on my checklist, if you will.
Amazing. Yes. So I'm really glad you brought all of that up, because I was taking some notes with some follow-up questions. A couple cool things. One, Chelsea really is good at copywriting. I've seen it, because she sent me an awesome email that I opened and I was like, wow, this is really good. But what I want to say is we kind of complement each other, because she helps you with planning what kind of launch you want to do and what the strategy is. And I help with that too, but in a slightly different way, in that a lot of times I'm helping my clients get the leads first. So like in lead gen, I'm getting them an audience to even launch to. Yep. And then same thing with the offer creation, helping them create their no-brainer offer that they can launch, and how do they talk about that in their launch and what all of that. So what's really cool, what you said, is you need to have something that's nice, that's a need to have, not a nice to have. So can you clarify, like, what's an example maybe of an offer you spruced up, or something that was originally kind of nice to have, but you turned it into something that the audience needed to have?
For sure. So I have a client who, or I worked with a client in the past, who she helped kind of overachievers to set boundaries in their lives, right? And that sounds like a really good thing. Boundaries are a necessary thing, right? And for those of us who've violated our own boundaries, we know how important boundaries are. But here's the thing. On a day-to-day basis, boundaries might not be something that overachievers are even thinking about. That's a really generalized problem to solve for them. And they might even recognize that they have a problem with it. But if that problem is not creating real painful consequences for them in their lives, consequences that they are not willing to continue to experience, then it's not urgent. It's just nice to have. You know it's urgent because you're the expert. You are so positive, and I agree with you, for example, with this client, that boundaries are crucial, right? But because for them, it's not top of mind every single day, because they're not consistently like paying the price, just saying I help overachievers with boundaries is not urgent enough. So we worked together to really identify, at least one of the stages in our process was really identifying like who actually got the program, who completed this. Right. And saw a big shift. And it was the persons for whom boundaries were really necessary in their intimate partner relationships. So they were coming home every day and clashing with the people they love the most in their lives. their romantic lives were in shambles. They were arguing all the time. They could never agree. Like, that daily consequence, that cost to them on a daily basis, the emotional, mental, even physical, spiritual toll that takes on a person of just being at odds with their partner on a day-to-day basis, that was urgent. And once we made that shift, we started to see in her messaging and even in the people she was enrolling in her program, how they were able to actually get, she was able to compound the results of her program because she was getting now, like, instead of 50% of the right people in, 80% of the right people in, right? Which means more transformation, more testimonials, more proof of concept of her work, and more raving fans to tell other people who will then become raving fans, and the amazing cycle continues.
Amazing. Yes, I love that example. So turning a thing like boundaries, which is a tool, into an actual more of a marketing message around stop clashing with your partner every day on a daily basis. And boundaries happens to be a bridge to get there, but you're marketing the actual outcome that they really care about. That's really good. So what about the, you mentioned you want to have at least 200 people perhaps to launch to. So everybody's different in what marketing methods they choose, but I'm curious how did you get your first 200 people that, you know, were email subscribers and whatnot?
Yeah. So a lot of what I used was my network, to be completely honest. It was the easiest, simplest thing for me to use at the time, because this was years ago now, my Facebook network, and just say, hey, I have this freebie. Can you share it out to your people? And I shared it out to my people. And gradually over time, I got those first 200. And that was email subscribers at the time. It wasn't even followers. So it really was my network that supported me. But I also want to say, too, that as much as I love email, and the bulk of launching for me and my clients is like email and email messaging, email is not the only way, right? Like, literally, if you plan for and have the energy to just do, like, let's say a few one-on-one outreaches during your launch, and your strategy is like, let's say, live streaming and one-on-one outreach, like, that can work too. I'm not saying like this is the only, but this is what I create results. And if you have ideas that you want to experiment with, as long as you have a really clear plan, and you can math too, because that 200 also comes from math. It's not just a number that I pulled out of a hat, right? But you can run some math and use your network, because that's always the easiest thing. Yeah. Then I think you're well on your way.
I love that. Yes, I have a membership called the Thriving Coach Membership. And one of the things that we just talked about is creating like a jumpstart offer that's like a no-brainer offer, and then promoting it to the lowest hanging fruit, meaning people who've been engaging with you, or, you know, expanding your net worth with collaborations, like you said, like sharing a freebie. Hey, would you be open to sharing this with your audience? Things like that. And I think that it all, you know, each time you launch, you're going to have the people who were in the first launch that didn't enroll still continuing to be nurtured by you, and maybe they're ready for the next launch. So I think to your point, like, yes, you want to have a baseline audience that you can even talk to, not just posting and having crickets, but each time you launch, it's going to get stronger because the people who were around the first time are compound, like they're still around every time, most likely. Yeah. And or you've weaved them out by being clear about who your offer really is for. So I love, that's a great piece of advice, is to start with your network, start with the low hanging fruit. And what about, and I also just really want to highlight you saying that you got to figure out who will get the best results from your program and market to that outcome. You also mentioned though that you need to have a launch strategy and not just, okay, guys, I opened up this offer. Woohoo! So how do we have a launch strategy? What does that really mean? When you say runway, if somebody's thinking a fashion catwalk, what can we redirect them to understand a launch runway and strategy?
Yeah, I did use the word runway, didn't I?
I love it. No, it makes sense. I get it. But I also think some people will be like, what's a launch runway?
Yeah. So clarification. Here's what we mean when we're talking about a launch strategy. A launch typically has, I like to think, three or four phases, right? You will have what we call the pre-launch, which is really designed to get your people thinking about their problem, thinking about the consequences that they're facing, asking questions about that problem, really helping them to see their problem in a new light. Then you'll have the sort of like, which is kind of a mini phase in your pre-launch, but this is the invitation to your big event. So sometimes you can have a big event like a challenge or a webinar or a masterclass or summit or whatever it is, or you can choose not to have one, right? It could just, that is kind of like a phase that can happen or doesn't have to. And then you have your doors open. This is where the announcement happens. So most people kind of just skip to the announcement. The doors are open, right? And they completely forget the pre-launch phase, which when we talk about runway, that's what I mean. Like we are leading up to the doors opening. We are nurturing, we're building connection, we're building trust, we're shifting mindsets, we're getting people thinking about and looking to us as the for the problem that they're like stuck in right now and for the outcome that they desire. And then we have the big event, or maybe we don't have an event and we just open doors. And then that's its own phase as well, right? Where we're sharing about the program, we're sharing results, we're sharing case studies, features, benefits, all that good like sales messaging stuff. And then the last couple of days, I kind of like to think of it as its own little phase of the launch, if you will, because that can tend to be for 80% of folks where you see this massive spike in sales. So you really want to ensure that you are optimizing your actions during that time as much as possible, and ensuring that you're not basically tapering off too early. A launch is not over until it's over. Like until the doors close, the launch is not over. So don't give up halfway through because you're not seeing sales. Don't think, oh, this isn't working. Trust me, this is advice for myself too. Because it can be really easy to fall off. But that last stage is also super critical. And really, you want to get that stage optimized as much as possible as well. So that's when I think of like a strategy, I think of actions covering each of those 3 to 4 stages, depending on what you decide to do.
Amazing. Yeah. So with that pre-launch phase, I want to talk about that. So you kind of mentioned having some belief shifting content. So things that maybe make people realize, how long do I want to keep dealing with this consequence, insert whatever consequence your offer helps solve. You want to nurture and establish yourself as the expert. So what would be some examples you can really build trust, or aside from just giving tips or, you know, giving generic information, what are maybe some concrete examples someone could think about when they're in that pre-launch phase?
Definitely. So I like to think about some of the things that like industry experts say that I categorically disagree with, like my own industry. For example, when I have my pre-launches for my launch offer, which is like a done-for-you launch support offer, I will often talk about energy management and sustainability, because the striving, the hustle, the push-through language that is used so prevalently in the launch space, I am categorically and emphatically against. So I will like actually take screenshots of things that I've seen other coaches say around like, oh, you know, a launch is, for example, like I wrote this email where this coach was like, this coach shared another post from somebody else. And in the post, the person was saying, yeah, I don't think this person's a good fit because you know how launches are a hectic time and we need somebody who can keep up with that pace. I'm sorry. Every time I say those words and every time I remember that email, I get riled up because I'm just like, are you kidding me? What pace? You set the pace. You get to, so like, I'm getting riled up. You see my point? Like, I'm invested in being against that kind of advice. So what's that for you? What do you get riled up about? What are examples of posts that you have seen other people make that you're like, hell no, We're not doing that. And why? Explain your reasoning. Tell stories around those things, right? Like, if you in your own life have, and that's kind of like one example of like a really polarizing argument. Another example is if you in your own life had like a small kind of mindset shift before you had your big moment of transformation, that's also a story you can tell. Or even your clients' like small mindset shift stories. Those are also things that you can share to do that belief shifting for you, to help them think about their problem, think about the outcome differently, think about the day-to-day consequences that they're experiencing, and really make a decision, because that's what starts to happen. They start to make a decision around, oh crap, yeah, no, this is not the place I want to be. And once they start to make that decision as a result of what you're sharing, then you offer a solution that they can take action on and really actually like, I've made the decision. Oh yeah, this provides the route for me to take action on that decision.
Love that. Yes. And you can even maybe start saying, and stay tuned if you're, you know, wanting to come, if you want to find out about a free class I have coming up, or if you're doing like a webinar or challenge or anything like that, or stay tuned for doors opening, you know, later this year.
Right? Yeah. You can give even like the week, the 1 to 2 weeks right before your whatever event, whether it's a class or challenge or whatever, you can start to say, hey, get on the wait list. I'm announcing a brand new class soon. You give them the link to get on your email list and you tag them with something specific so that those people are some of the first people you email with like the class registration link. There's tons of ways to do this for sure.
Love it. Yeah. And I agree on the sharing content that maybe is polarizing or that makes your strategy or approach different, like things like industry myths, or maybe what you wish you knew when you started, like you said, or if you have some kind of framework that helped you shift some kind of get some kind of solution, things like that. Now, okay, so we got the pre-launch, then we move into the either if we're going to have an event, we have the open registration for our webinar or countdown for the Facebook challenge or whatever it is. If we skip that part and we just go straight to, would it be straight to doors opening if we skip that part?
Yep. Yep.
So what are some common maybe do's or don'ts in those two stages?
Yeah, sure. So don't make like your whatever event you're having be like a really short promotion time. Like, don't try to fill your event a couple of days before the event. I would start talking about it 2 to 3 weeks out. Let people know it's coming, right? Even if you don't open up registration until the week before, let people know, hey, this event is happening. This is the date. It's coming. Registration will soon be open for it. Get ready. Because especially nowadays, when our attention spans are so short, people need reminders. You're not the only thing in their lives, right? They're scrolling on Instagram and TikTok. They're dealing with their kids. They're like running up and down for work. They got other ish. So like, you have to remind them and let them know, hey, this is happening. Another like common thing that I would advise you not to do, particularly when it comes to your events, is, and this is kind of like, before the event, is give them reminders. And not just like reminders 2 to 3 weeks out, but I mean like the day before, the day of, 15 minutes before, like really short email reminders. You don't have to. One thing during a launch that in general people tend to think is that I'm sending too many emails. You're not. I promise you, you're not. And even if people are subscribing, that's a good thing for you because it means that they were never your people to begin with and you can't help them. You want them to leave. If you can't help them, then why would you want them sticking around? You want people who you can help. So you're not sending too many emails. You're helping people to remember what's going on. And therefore, if they can remember, they can actually show up. So send like reminder emails. I send 5 sometimes for my clients. I send a lot.
Nice.
And then I would say if you're not doing an event, you definitely want to talk about the program just like how we were dripping information about the webinar or the challenge or whatever before it happened, drip ideas about the program. Like start to talk about my program is opening soon. The kind of clients in my program see these kinds of results. Start to like use that language in your emails so that when you have the announcement of doors open, it doesn't come as a shock. People have been hearing about this for weeks.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm glad you brought up the emails because I was going to ask you how many emails is too many emails because I get that question a lot. What's your take on that question?
I don't know if I'm like on the opposite end of most of the spectrum, but honestly, I don't think you can ever have too many emails. I have sent up to, I think it was like 36 emails in one launch over the course of 8 weeks, 10 weeks. And we didn't get a ton of unsubscribes. We got probably a couple, and yeah. Open rates remain high, click-through rates remain high. Like you can't mm-hmm. have
anything. Mm-hmm. What is a good click-through rate in your book in the coaching industry?
In my book, click-through rates are actually super subjective, to be completely honest. For me, I know other people say something different, but for me, they're really subjective because it's really based on, okay, what's the average that you typically see? If you typically see like 1%, but you've dropped to like 0.1, you know there's a huge problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you see 5 and you drop to 1, you also know there's a huge problem. So like, click-through rates are super subjective. Open rates are more standard for me, mm-hmm. but like for your click-throughs, really pay attention to the average across several emails, and then you'll kind of know what your click-through rate should be at. It's not that you can't try to get them above that, but that's kind of how I see that.
Amazing. Okay. Yep. Really good stuff here. And I'm so glad you highlighted specifically, you sent 36 emails over 8 to 10 weeks. That gives somebody a concrete idea of like, calm down, or it's okay if you're sending 10 emails or whatever it is.
It's fine.
And one thing I'll add just while we're on this topic, because it's a newer thing I learned, is when you send emails, some email CRM systems that track your open rates, they actually have recently started tracking, like, you know, the Apple email thing on your phone.
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They sometimes track it as an open if someone just opens their mail app on their phone and sees a preview of your email and doesn't mm-hmm. actually open it. So mm-hmm. it doesn't really, the good news is, as you said, it's like subjective. So in other words, you can still measure trends. If your right. open rate's really high on a certain topic, that's good. If it's low mm-hmm. on a certain topic, that's bad. If it's, you know, yeah. going up and down, like, so you can track the trend still, but there's always little things that can kind of like see your numbers or make it kind of funky. So looking at the overall trends is what we're trying to say here. Mm-hmm. So Chelsea, where can everybody find you, connect with mm-hmm. you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I know, like, we talked about a lot of things and people might still have questions. So if you do, reach out to me on Instagram at The Launch Copy Coach. You can also, I mean, shoot me an email, Chelsea@thechelseawallace.com. I'm almost like always open to questions. I love questions. I want to help people with this stuff. So feel free to reach out.
Amazing. And thank you so much for coming. And we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. And if it's really helpful for you, I'd really appreciate if you share it and or leave a written podcast review. This tells the podcast sites that our show is useful and it will be promoted to more people that way. Thanks again.